All right, so last week we finished chapter 25, and we covered the Ark of the Covenant and the Table of Showbread and the Golden Lampstand. Okay, so these are all pieces that were in the tabernacle itself, in the tabernacle proper. Obviously, the Ark of the Covenant is in the Holy of Holies. God starts with the most important piece because that's going to be the piece that represents his presence. And then you get the table of showbread and the golden lampstand. What's interesting is the altar of incense, which is also in the holy place, is not mentioned until quite a bit later. It's not discussed. Okay, and we talked about how the tabernacle represents all of creation. Okay, it points back to creation, and the idea there is that God's glory is going to eventually fill all of creation. Okay, like it did in the Garden of Eden. So we've always said we're always trying to get back to Sabbath rest. We're always trying to get back to Eden and that relationship with God that Adam and Eve had. Okay, so the tabernacle is a small picture of that. And we said how the Ark of the Covenant, the Table of Showbread, and the Golden Lampstand represented day one, which was light and dark. God created light. And we talked about how everything reflected light, and everything is covered in gold, which represents God's glory and reflects light. Okay? And Levon even said, well, there's not really any light in the Holy of Holies because, well, one, God doesn't need light. Two, they never go back there. Once a year, they go back there. And we talked about how possibly God's presence was the light in the Holy of Holies, but we're not sure about that. So, but the priests at least had to be able to see something back there to be able to do their duties. Okay? So today we're going to do chapter 26, and this is going to represent the first part, day two, and the second part, day three. Okay? So just a little bit about the tabernacle before we start reading. Okay? The tabernacle is going to be erected in the very center of the Israelite camp, and they're going to camp all the way around it. Set up their tents. So God is literally in their middle, in the midst of them. Okay? We know the tabernacle has the three parts, the courtyard, the holy place, and then the Holy of Holies. Okay? The interesting thing is that the doorway to all of these, to the tabernacle itself and into the courtyard, they faced east. Does anyone remember from Genesis, what is the significance of east? Yes, Adam and Eve were kicked out east. Do we remember anything else? You, yes, you don't want to go east. Cain was sent east. It's bad. Okay, so if the tabernacle opens its doors to the east, you have to go which direction to get to God? West. Okay, so the idea is God has banished you east, right? East of, I mean, that's a phrase, east of Eden, right? Adam and Eve were sent east of Eden. And now to return to God, you are backtracking and going west. So the courtyard opened east and the tabernacle opened east, okay? So that you had to come west to get back to God, okay? To get back to God's presence, because we're trying to get back to Eden. We're trying to get back to that relationship with God that Adam and Eve had. Okay, so even the tabernacle, even the direction it is facing, is a picture of that coming from the east, coming from the bad place, going west back to God's presence. Okay?
Isn't that like our salvation?
Yes.
When we receive Christ, we have to turn 180 degrees
Exactly. Very good point. Did you ladies hear that? Okay, like our salvation, we have to do a 180. That's repentance. Turn around. We go the other direction, right? Very good. Yeah. Great. Okay, we're going to learn the tabernacle today is going it's going to be four layers of fabric, the tabernacle itself proper. Okay, four layers of fabric stretched over a frame. That's basically what we're going to learn about today, the curtains, all the curtains. All the fabric that went over the tabernacle, and we're going to run into porpoise skins again. Okay, our favorite. Verse 1 to 30, this is going to represent day two of creation. God, on day two, God creates the sky and the sea. He separates the waters above and below, creates the sky and the sea. Okay, so mostly the sky. So that's what verses 1 to 30 are about. All right? So can someone read for me chapter 26, 1 to 14, verse 1 to 14? Sure, and just speak loudly. Terry's going to read it.
Moreover, you shall make the tabernacle with 10 curtains of fine twisted linen and blue and purple and scarlet material. You shall make them with cherubim, the work of a skillful workman. The length of each curtain shall be 28 cubits and the width of each curtain 4 cubits. All the curtains shall have the same measurements. 5 curtains shall be joined to one another, and the other 5 curtains shall be joined to one another. And you shall make loops of blue on the edge of the outermost curtain in the first set, and likewise you shall make them on the edge of the curtain that is outermost in the second set. You shall make 50 loops in the one curtain, and you shall make 50 loops on the edge of the curtain that is in the second set. The loops shall be opposite each other. And you shall make 50 clasps of gold and join the curtains to one another with the clasps, that the tabernacle may be a unit. Then you shall make curtains of goat's hair for a tent over the tabernacle. You shall make 11 curtains in all. The length of each curtain shall be 30 cubits and the width of each curtain 4 cubits. The 11 curtains shall have the same measurements. And you shall join 5 curtains by themselves, and the other 6 curtains by themselves, and you shall double over the 6th curtain at the front of the tent. And you shall make 50 loops on the edge of the curtain that is outermost in the first set, and 50 loops on the edge of this curtain that is outermost in the second set. And you shall make 50 clasps of bronze, and you shall put the clasps into the loops, and join the tent together, that it may be a unit. And the overlapping part that is left over in the curtains of the tent, the half curtain that is left over, shall lap over the back of the tabernacle. And the cubit on one side and the cubit on the other of what is left over in the length of the curtains of the tent shall lap over the sides of the tabernacle on one side and on the other to cover it. And you shall make a covering for the tent of ram's skins dyed red, and a covering of porpoise skins above.
All right, thank you. Okay, so we get details about the curtains. Verses 1 through 6, these talk about the curtains that actually make the walls and the ceiling of the tabernacle. Okay, but if you notice, these curtains are then covered by goat's hair curtains, and then ram skins curtains and porpoise skins. Okay, so the innermost curtains are the most beautiful, but they would only really be visible, except maybe the doorway, the front of the tabernacle. They would only be visible to the priests who are on the inside in the holy place. Okay, and remember, your average Joe Schmo, he couldn't go into the holy place. Okay, he was only allowed in the courtyard. Okay, so we have 10 curtains, verse 1. And each of them, I mean, in the NASB, it's given, the dimensions are given in cubits, but it's basically, each curtain is 42 feet long and 6 feet wide. Okay? Then these curtains are going to be joined in 2 sets of 5. Okay? It doesn't specify how the individual curtains are joined together. Possibly they were sewn together. We don't know. We just know the 2 sets of 5 are then joined together with gold rings. Okay? So in total, each set is going to be 42 feet by 30 feet, and in total it's going to be 42 feet by 60 feet. Okay? And this is going to then be stretched over a wooden frame, which we'll read about next, and it's going to create the walls and the ceiling of the tabernacle. Okay, the inside area is going to be 45 feet by 15 feet. So 45 feet long, 15 feet tall, and this is divided into 2 rooms. The Holy of Holies is going to be a cube, 15 feet. 15 feet by 15 feet by 15 feet. Okay, and then that leaves the holy place is 30 feet by 15 feet by 15 feet. Okay, so 30 feet long, 15 feet wide, 15 feet tall. Okay, so these are, I mean, these are tall, pretty tall ceilings of the tabernacle. Okay? In verse 1, it says that the 10 curtains are made of fine twisted linen. Okay? In the Hebrew, apparently there are different words to denote different qualities of linen. Okay? And this is the finest, the highest quality of linen possible. This linen would only be worn and used by kings and nobility. Okay, so God requires the best of the best to make his tabernacle with. And this would also be the whitest linen, whitest. So there are different qualities of linen. Some were not as white as others. So this would be the best quality linen, the whitest linen. Yes, yes, they took it from the Egyptians. All this. That's right. Yes. Okay. Then it says, and blue and purple and scarlet material. If you notice that that word material in your Bible should be in italics, okay, that means that word is not in the original language. And that is because these words, blue, purple, and scarlet, these words are actually, in the Hebrew, words for dyes, okay? The colors of dyes you would use. So this might not have been a separate material, but instead they're dyeing. So there's, okay, because we don't get all the details, there is disagreement on this. Some people think that the linen itself was dyed blue, purple, and scarlet to make the curtains and the pattern they want. Other people think that it was, the inside was actually basically white, with then blue, purple, and linen, blue, purple, and scarlet thread, then decorating it with whatever pattern. Okay, so there's disagreement. So whether the tabernacle was actually white or whether it was predominantly blue, purple, and scarlet, we're not 100% sure. Okay, but these,
yeah, my version,
yeah.
Blue, purple, and scarlet yarns.
Okay, yarns. Yeah, is that word yarns italicized? No, okay. I mean, at least the commentaries I read said that those words are actually words for dyes, the colors of dyes, okay? The blue, purple, and scarlet, they're the colors of the sky, okay? Scarlet may represent the sun, and then blue and purple, the light and dark blue of the sky, okay? So they point to God in heaven. God's glory is going to fill the sky. Okay. Dyes in this time were very, very expensive. Okay. They're not common like they are today. So most people's clothes was just whatever color the material naturally was. Okay. To actually dye your clothes to a different color would have been very expensive. Okay. Blue, this blue dye, it was actually made from snails found in the Mediterranean Sea. Okay. So difficult. I mean, because dyes were difficult to make, so then they're expensive. The scarlet was made from an insect that lived on oak trees. Okay, and then I assume you get the purple by somehow mixing the two. Okay, so these they most likely took from the Egyptians as well. Okay, most of the stuff that the tabernacle is made of was taken from the Egyptians. Okay, again, verse 1, you shall make them with cherubim, the work of a skillful workman. Okay, so again, cherubim, we've already seen, are associated with God's glory and presence. Okay, because they were at the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve got kicked out. That's the first time we see them in Scripture. The second time we see them in Scripture is the Ark of the Covenant. Okay, the two cherubim statues. Okay, and then now the curtains that make up the walls in the ceiling were somehow had cherubim on them somehow. Okay, so either dyed directly into the linen or with yarn or some other material sewn onto the linen to decorate it. Okay, yes, Terry.
Were these cherubim, and you may have said it, but I missed it, on all of the curtains of the outer or just inner?
So just on the linen. Is that what you're asking?
Well, was linen part of all of the curtains?
So all the curtains that make up the walls and the ceiling of the tabernacle itself.
Right.
But then we're going to see that these curtains were then covered over with three more layers of curtains to protect them. So nobody would see them.
Oh,
except for the priests who entered into the holy place.
Well, wait a minute. So is the outer court considered part of the tabernacle or not?
It depends on how you refer to the tabernacle. The tabernacle as a whole, yes, you would include the courtyard. I'm talking about the tabernacle proper, which is just the building, which is just the holy place and the holy of holies.
Okay,
and so, and we're going to see actually the curtain that makes the doorway to the holy place that people would have seen as they came into the outer court. It didn't have cherubim on it. Okay, so the cherubim would have only been visible to the priests who went into the holy place. Okay, I mean, and so your average person would probably not see the lampstand or the table of showbread, or the altar of incense, and certainly not the Ark of the Covenant. Okay, that's inside. Your average person would only see the bronze altar and the basin to wash in the laver. Okay, in the courtyard. And then even as they look at the tabernacle, it's going to be covered over with three more layers, so they would only see the doorway, which was blue, scarlet, and purple, but it didn't have cherubim on it. Does that make sense? Right, the outer court had a fence around it, but you know, it's not sheltered in. No. Yes. Yes.
I don't know what cherubim look like.
Great question. I have no idea. I don't know if you heard that. She asked, how do they know what cherubim look like? We don't.
Ezekiel talks about cherubim, but
right, but even with the descriptions, we still don't really know what they look like. You know, you have different artists' renderings. But remember, Moses saw a picture on the mountain. God revealed to him. And so maybe he then was able to pass it down or, you know, and say, nope, you got that wrong. Do it this way to the people who made it. But remember, the details we have are not sufficient really for us to go and build our own tabernacle that would have been exactly like the tabernacle that God originally had constructed. We just get the details that God decided were important to include in scripture. But Moses saw a picture on the mountain, and so he would have known better how to direct. Good questions. Okay? Okay, so we have these curtains, two groups of five joined together with gold loops. Gold, remember, reflects God's glory. And these are the innermost curtains. They are going to make up the Holy of Holies and the holy place. And so everything is beautiful, the highest quality, and of gold to represent God's glory. Verses 7 to 14, we then get details about the other three layers. Okay, so these beautiful inner curtains, linen, I mean, it's not going to last very well if there's a rainstorm, okay, or snow. It is possible to get snow in Israel. So these are protected by three additional layers. The second layer lays right over the first layer, and it's made of goat's hair. This was for durability, and this would have been similar to what all the other tents of your average Israelite was made of. Okay, goat's hair. Now, if you notice the details here, it's bigger, right? Because it's supposed to cover over the top of the inner one, of the inner layer. So instead of 10 curtains, there's 11 curtains, and they're 45 feet by 6 feet. Okay, so they're taller. So they're a little larger so that they can protect the inner layer. They're also in two sets, but it's going to be one set of five and one set of six. So not only are they taller, but there's actually an entire extra curtain added as well. Okay, the sixth curtain would cover the front of the tabernacle, okay, the doorway, and could be folded back to let the priests enter. How exactly that worked, we're not given details. We don't know. Okay. But notice then, these two sets of curtains are joined by 50 bronze rings. Okay, verse 11, you shall make 50 clasps of bronze. So as we move away from God's presence, right, the inner curtains are closest. Then this is the second layer. They have bronze rings, okay? So as we move out, we get less precious metal. We're going to find out that in the courtyard, everything's made of bronze, okay? So we're moving further away from God's revealed glory. Okay. These curtains were large enough to overlap both at the back and the sides. It says, verse 12, the overlapping part that is left over in the curtains of the tent, the half curtain that is left, shall lap over the back. Okay, so these are big enough that there's some overlap, okay, to fully cover, make sure that the inner curtains are fully covered. Okay, then in verse 14, we just get casual mention of the last two layers. So we get a lot of detail about the inner layer, detail about the second layer, and then the last two layers, we just get one little verse about. Okay, so were these joined together with rings? How many curtains? How big? We don't get any of those details. 14, you shall make a covering for the tent of ram skins dyed red and a covering of porpoise skins above. Okay, so the third layer, so you have the first layer of linen, the second layer of goat's hair, the third layer is ram skins, and it says dyed red, but my Bible has a little one next to dyed red and it says or tanned. So it might have just been tanned ram skins, which give them a red color. Okay. And then one of porpoise skins. Okay. And we've talked about before, we're not 100% sure what these porpoise skins were because it's translated a whole bunch of different ways, but it doesn't really matter. The idea is that this was some kind of aquatic animal that produced a tough leather that was waterproof. Okay, they would have probably either gotten these from the Egyptians, okay, when they left Egypt, or they could have possibly caught these animals in the Red Sea, okay, because a lot of their journey was down the east side of the Gulf of Suez, I think, if anyone still has their maps. Okay, so this is the layer that most people would see, is the porpoise skin layer, the third layer. Even the other two, the ram skin and the goat's hair, is going to be covered up by this porpoise skin. And this is the layer that's obviously exposed to the weather. So it is waterproof, and it protects the inner layers. It's a thick, hardy material that can withstand multiple setups and teardowns, okay, and to protect it from all sorts of weather so that the inner layers are protected, you know. And then now the linen, the nicest layer, is covered with three extra layers, so if for whatever reason the porpoise skin leaks, you know, most likely the linen will still be protected by the other two layers that it has to go through. Okay, so those are those curtains. Any questions? Okay, anything to add about the curtains, Julie? I don't know if you've studied that in with Michelle yet or not.
Not that I can think of. I didn't bring my study book.
Okay. No, that's fine.
Study book with, because I didn't think this was going to work out. So.
Okay. No problem. No. Sorry to put you on the spot.
Joyce also is there.
Oh, did you guys study the curtains?
Yes.
Okay. Anything?
I don't recall anything else.
Great. Okay. All right. Can someone read for me verses 15 to 30? That's fine. Yep.
The length of each plank is to be 15 feet, with the width of each plank at 27 inches. Each plank must be connected together with two tenons. Do the same for all the planks of the tabernacle. The planks for the tabernacle as follows. 20 planks for the south side, and make 40 silver bases under the 20 planks. Two bases under the first plank for its two tenons, and two bases under the next plank for its two tenons. 20 planks for the second side of the tabernacle, the north side, along with 40 silver bases, two bases under the first plank, and two bases under each plank, and make six planks for the west side of the tabernacle. Make two additional planks for the two back corners of the tabernacle. They are to be paired at the bottom and joined together at the top in a single ring, so it should be for both of them. They will serve as the two corners. There are to be eight planks with their silver bases, 16 bases, two bases under the first plank, and two bases under each plank. You are to make five crossbars of acacia wood for the planks on one side of the tabernacle, five crossbars for the planks. central crossbar is to run through the middle of the planks from one end to another. Then overlay the planks with gold and make the rings of gold as the holders for the crossbars. Also overlay the crossbars with gold. You are to set up the tabernacle according to the plan for that, for it that you have been shown on the mountain.
Okay, I'm going to be honest. I struggled with this section because I don't get it. I am not an architect. I had no idea what a tenon was. I had to look it up. Okay, so I'm relying heavily on my commentary, which I honestly don't know how he got what he got. So please take this with a grain of salt. I mean, okay. So basically what this is describing is the wooden structure that then the curtains would be stretched over. Okay, right, you can't just have curtains, you need some sort of frame, okay? So this is the wooden frame that these four layers of curtains are going to be stretched over to make the tabernacle proper, which is going to be the holy place and the holy of holies. Okay, so this is, we're still just talking about the building itself, okay? Not the courtyard, not the fence around the courtyard, none of that, okay? Okay, so my commentary said that these were 48, right, 20 on each side and 8 in the back, I believe is right. Well, 6 in the back and then 2 extra to support it. Okay, 6, so 48 ladder-like frames is what he said, okay? So he thinks they're each, board, he says, is actually two boards that then have ladder-like structure in between. How he came up with that, I don't actually know. I think part of the reason is because it says there shall be two tenons on each board, and a tenon is a piece that protrudes down to go into a socket. That's basically what it is. So I guess he thinks that now it's really two boards that are joined together to make one board. Okay. So if it's that, or if it's one board that I guess at the bottom you just carve out two tenons, how you can be sure, I don't know. Okay. But whatever it is, these are going to make the walls, the sides and the back of the tabernacle. The reason there's nothing mentioned for the front is because the front, the priests have to go in and out. So the front is actually going to be its own separate curtain with poles that hold it up. Okay, so this, that these curtains are stretched over is just a U shape. It's just the sides and the back. Okay, and then you're going to get, at the end of this chapter, you're going to get instructions for the curtain that is the doorway to the tabernacle itself. Okay, so then there would have been 6 of these poles in the back and then 2 more to reinforce the corners. So 22 says, for the rear of the tabernacle to the west, you shall make 6 boards. 23, you shall make 2 boards for the corners of the tabernacle. They shall be double beneath and together they shall be complete to its top to the first ring. So he thinks this formed like an A shape. Okay, so it was attached to the corners and then met at the top in the middle of the back, just to reinforce the back structure of it. Okay. These boards are all made of acacia wood. Okay. Verse 1. And remember, that's the same wood that the Ark of the Covenant is made out of and the table of showbread. Okay. Verse 29 says, you shall overlay the boards with gold, and you shall overlay the bars with gold. Okay, so all of these supporting beams are all covered in gold. So everything, like the Ark of the Covenant, like the Table of Showbread, all the wood is covered in gold because it reflects God's glory. Okay? So the reason for these, the frames and their bases with the sockets of silver that the boards would set in, right, to make them stable. They're functional and utilitarian. I mean, you have to have some sort of frame for your house, okay? But they're also beautiful, okay? They also reflect God's glory. So everything that is visible on the inner of the tabernacle, and actually, I don't know, I would assume that when you walked into the tabernacle, you would be able to see these, because I would think that the linen was stretched over the outside of it, so you would be able to see these gold bars. Okay, that's what I would assume. I don't know if that's true or not. 100%. Okay, I mean, I don't know how else you would do it to make them on the outside. I guess you could attach them somehow, but I would think it'd be easier to stretch it over the top, so then all these bars are visible on the inside Okay, and they're covered in gold. So everything is beautiful in God's tabernacle. Everything is covered in gold. Okay. Yes. I would. Well, so my thought is maybe possibly, which I have no idea, I just thought of this now, the linen would have been attached and then everything else was stretched over the outside. So nobody from the outside looking in would see the boards of gold. Okay, but then nobody would see the boards of gold. So I would think that everything is stretched over this frame. And when you walk in, the priest, they would see all the boards of gold with the colorful linen in between each of those boards. Okay.
They have a light in there?
The lampstand, yes. Okay. They did have a light in there. Okay, the lampstand, and it was to always be lit. Okay, it was to never go out. Okay, so like I said, there's discussion and there's disagreement because we get just the bare bone details and we don't get enough detail to know how to really physically build it ourselves, okay? Verse 26 through 29, I believe these bars of acacia wood, these make the ceiling, okay? Because we're talking about 28, the middle bar in the center shall pass through from end to end. So this would have been a crossbar, okay? And then it would have stabilized all the other bars that then made up the ceiling of the tabernacle, okay? So we have the boards that are the walls, but then we also need some sort of structure at the top so that the roof doesn't just, you know, cave in, especially with four layers of cloth, right? You'd think it would get heavy. And so you need some sort of bars to hold up the ceiling of the tabernacle as well, okay? We don't know how these bars were attached to the frame, okay, except in part by rings. It says there, verse 29, you shall overlay the boards with gold and make their rings of gold as holders, okay? So we're not given instruction on exactly how this all fit together, okay? Right. So the center crossbar would have been 45 feet because it would have gone from the front all the way to the back, and then all the other boards would come off of it and then somehow attach to the walls. But we're not exactly sure how that happened. Okay. The crossbar would have kept all the other bars properly spaced, and it would have added rigidity. Okay. And then again, everything is overlaid with gold to reflect God's glory. So the walls, the ceiling, all of it is gold. Or at least appears to be gold because it's wood overlaid with gold. It reflects God's glory. Okay. Verse 30, then you shall erect the tabernacle according to its plan, which you have been shown in the mountain. Okay. So again, we're reminded, Moses saw a picture. He knew what it was supposed to look like. He knew what it was supposed, you know, the end product was supposed to be. And again, he was probably given more details than is written down. Okay, so the tabernacle was a precise build out of a revealed design. Okay, God possibly gave the artists some artistic leeway, and maybe not. Maybe they had to do things exactly the way Moses said, and he said, nope, that's wrong. We're not sure. Okay, but if you remember, we talked about last week, Hebrews 8:5, the tabernacle is a copy of what's in heaven. Okay. So it would make sense that God wants this tabernacle very much precise, okay? Because this is where he is going to dwell with man. This is going to reveal his presence among man. And so it makes sense that God would be very particular, okay? And the purpose of the tabernacle is God wants his people to understand that their ultimate purpose is to dwell with him. Okay, God's glory is eventually going to fill the earth, and we are eventually going to be restored to that Edenic relationship with God that Adam and Eve had. That is the ultimate purpose. This is just a very small picture of God dwelling with man. Okay, so the tabernacle part of it, right, should have made the people long to be able to dwell with God without the sacrifice, without the Holy of Holies, you know, without all these barriers that are in the way, right? So it should make it should have made them long to live with him permanently, like Adam and Eve did, without having to go through all these different layers, right? Because this is a symbol of God dwelling in your midst, but it's also pointing to the fact that there's a problem, right? And I can't truly dwell among you perfectly because there's a sin problem. And so it should make man long to solve that problem to be able to dwell with God. Questions on that that I probably won't be able to answer. I read it and I'm like, I have no idea what's going on here. I'm not an architect. Questions?
It, talking about, 'cause I read this and I was like,
"See
what?"
Like, yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah.
I found that helpful.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, anything else? All right, can someone read for me verse 31 to 37? Okay, so verse 31 through chapter 27, verse 8, we're going to deal with day 3 of creation, okay, which is land or earth. Okay, so here we get further description of two more curtains, okay, the veil and the screen, so the veil between the holy place and the holy of holies, and then the doorway to the tent, to the tabernacle itself, okay, that everybody would have seen. So we get two more curtains. Day 3, which is when God created land, okay, or all the vegetation that's on earth, okay? So, verse 31, you shall make a veil. The whole purpose of this curtain is to show the separation between man and God, okay? And this is the reality of the earth right now, that we are totally separated from God. We, in and of ourselves, we have no access to God. Okay, the whole purpose of this veil was to bar the entryway to the Holy of Holies, to the Ark of the Covenant, to God's presence. Okay, sin has separated us from God. God's glory should fill the earth, right? But instead, God's glory is confined to this one little room, I mean, theoretically, right? Because of man's sin. We do not get to share in the glory of God because we have sinned. Okay, we are separated from that. Notice this curtain, it's the same as the curtains that make up the walls and the ceiling, okay? Blue, purple, scarlet material, so it's all those same words, and fine twisted linen, okay? So all the same words, okay? So it's the highest quality linen, and it's the same dyes used for the walls and the ceiling of the tabernacle with cherubim on it as well, okay? Because again, this is guarding God's presence. Specifically, so there are cherubim on the curtain and then cherubim on the Ark of the Covenant itself. So it is beautiful, just like the walls and the ceiling of the tabernacle, but its sole purpose is to be a barrier, to be so that you cannot get in. The idea is you cannot access God. Okay, verse 32, you shall hang it on four pillars of acacia overlaid with gold, and their hooks also being of gold, on four sockets of silver. Okay, so this curtain is stretched across four poles covered in gold. Notice it is one long single curtain. It is not divided in the middle, because the idea of this curtain is not that it's a doorway, but that it's a barrier. Okay, you cannot easily get past this curtain. To get past it, you would have probably had to move one of the supporting poles, okay, and then go around the edge of it. It wasn't like, you know, it parted in the middle and you could just walk right through. Okay, so it was a process to get around it. And that's the whole idea, is that man cannot be with God. Okay, verse 33, the veil halfway through, the veil shall serve for you as a partition between the holy place and the holy of holies. Okay, so its whole design is to be a barrier. Okay, to divide off the two rooms, but basically to be another wall is what it is. It's a wall that is difficult to get through because you cannot get to God. Okay, they could not be in the holy of holies. We're not given exact dimensions, but I would assume it's 15 feet by 15 feet, because it would probably be from floor to ceiling and from wall to wall, okay, to totally seal off the Holy of Holies. Okay, and this is why it was such a big deal, right, that when Jesus died, the curtain tore, okay, because now you have easy access into the Holy of Holies, because the whole point of this curtain was that it was difficult to get into the Holy of Holies, and only the high priest could go in once a year. Okay? Then God gives instructions of what should be put where, right? Because up to this point, they've gotten instructions on the pieces of furniture, right? But he hasn't told them what to put where. So verse 34, you shall put the mercy seat on the ark. Remember, the mercy seat was the lid that was pure gold. It wasn't made of wood, and it had the two cherubim on top. Okay, so that was to be the lid for the Ark of the Covenant, which was a box. And that was the only piece of furniture in the Holy of Holies, was just the Ark of the Covenant. And then, for right now at least, because this is all they have instructions on, is the lampstand and the table. Okay, and God tells them exactly where to put them in the holy place. The altar of incense is going to be set right in front of the curtain eventually, but right now we just have the lampstand and the table of showbread. Okay, so the lampstand's on the south side, the table of showbread is on the north side. So God tells them exactly where he wants them to be put. Then verse 36 and 37, we get the last curtain, and this is the doorway to the holy place.
Is there any reason that it said in your readings about placing one on the
south? No. No, I didn't read anything about that. The question was, is there any reason that one was placed on the south and one on the north? No.
Which way did the veil go?
Well, the veil's going to go north and south, right? Because the doorway is facing east and west. Well, east. So it would have been north to south. On the north, right?
Right, and if the table's on the south, now you're saying within the holy place, not the holy of holies.
Correct. Because the only thing in the Holy of Holies is the Ark of the Covenant. Okay. The other three, well, we haven't even talked about the altar of incense yet, but there are going to be three pieces of furniture in the holy place, okay? And that's going to be the table of showbread, the lampstand, and the altar of incense, okay? But the only thing in the Holy of Holies was the Ark of the Covenant. Okay, so 36 and 37, we get the doorway to the tabernacle itself. Again, blue, purple, and scarlet material, fine twisted linen. Okay, so same linen, same color of dyes, but this time there is no cherubim. Okay? This is going to be a doorway into the tabernacle, and most people couldn't even enter this doorway. Let alone get back into the Holy of Holies, okay? Only the priests were allowed into the holy place, and then only the high priest once a year was allowed back into the Holy of Holies, okay? So the tabernacle's design is set up to show the separation of man and God, And the idea is that is the state of the earth today. And it still is. Man is still separated from God. Now, we have the answer to how to get back to the Holy of Holies, right? But for the vast majority of mankind, they are still separated from God. Okay, now we have the answer of how to get back in. But in Israel, right, they're still looking forward to that. They're still looking to the seed that is going to crush Satan's head. Okay. Five pillars hold up this curtain. Okay, and we're given no details about how you pull the curtain back and how you enter in. And is it split in the middle? You know, is it easier to get around than the curtain that separates the Holy of Holies off? Okay. But it was only the priests that are able to enter. So obviously there had to be a way in because they had to go and do their duties back there. If you notice again, the sockets are made of bronze. Okay, we still have some gold. The hooks are gold, but the sockets are bronze. We are this is the doorway to the tabernacle itself. So it's the furthest away from the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle proper. Okay, it's the furthest you can get from the Holy of Holies. And we see the transition of metals, okay? We transition from gold to bronze. And then in the courtyard, which is going to be the furthest away from God's glory, everything's going to be bronze, okay? So the metals are used to signify this transition, that there is a problem, okay? The average person, they are going to, this is basically the only beautiful part that they're going to see, right? Because all the rest of the tabernacle is covered in porpoise skin. And so this doorway is going to be the only beautiful thing they see. And there's no cherubim on it. And it does have some gold, okay? The pillars themselves are overlaid with gold, but then the sockets are bronze, okay? So this is the only glimpse, really, of God's glory that they get is this doorway. And then all they see is the altar, the bronze altar, and the laver, okay? Because man himself is separated from God, okay? And they have no access to God, really. No direct access to God. Questions, chapter 26. I think studying the tabernacle should make us more thankful for the direct access that we have to God, right? That we are allowed to boldly approach the throne of grace when they were so separated off that they had no idea. I mean, they knew that all these things had been made, but they didn't even get to see them. Your average person didn't even get to see what had been made for God and for his glory, you know? And so they just knew what was supposedly in the tabernacle, but only the priest got to see it. And then only the high priest once a year even got to see the Ark of the Covenant. So
I still am confused on the wording. How do I know when I'm reading scripture, when it says tabernacle, how do I know if they're talking about the tabernacle proper, as in the holy place and holy of holies, mm-hmm. for the entire thing, including the outer court, because the outer court is where they had the altar, mm-hmm. the mm-hmm. burning of the animals,
yep.
and this and that, and the men could go in there, mm-hmm. I'm not sure about the women, but, you know,
yeah.
I
would assume it would be in the context. I would assume most of the time referring to the tabernacle is just referring to the whole thing. Because if people went to the tabernacle, you know they're not going into the actual building, right? They're just going into the courtyard. And it was all fenced off, okay? So it was a confined area, the tabernacle itself.
I mean,
the courtyard was fenced off.
The courtyard was a fence.
Well, on the inside of the fence was the courtyard. Here, I have like a little picture. Okay, so the court, do you see the building?
Right.
And then this is the altar.
Right.
And then so inside of the fence is the courtyard.
Right.
Oh, yes, she has the same picture.
You're calling that didn't have it, but that had curtains on it, that fence?
Yes, was curtains. Yes. Yes. Yes, but we haven't talked about those curtains yet.
You said fence, I was thinking beyond the curtains.
Oh, no. It wasn't until, oh, man. I don't know if it was Solomon's temple or if it wasn't until Herod's temple that we then have the court of the Gentiles, the court of the women, the court of the men, multiple courts. The tabernacle didn't have that. It just had one courtyard. Yeah. So, yep. Good. Any other questions? All right, I told you today would be short, so I will pray, and we will be done, and next week we will do chapter 27. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for this time. Thank you for these ladies who come out to study. And Lord, I pray that you would give us a deeper understanding of your word and the tabernacle, even though some things seem confusing. We don't quite understand all the technicalities of how the tabernacle is built, Lord. But I pray that we would take away the overarching ideas of why you had the tabernacle erected. And really the truth that it preached, that your glory is to fill the whole earth, but there is a problem. There is a massive problem. Man cannot be with God because of our sin. And it was to create a longing for Israel to be reconciled with God, that they might dwell with God forever. Lord, and we have that same hope, though we have direct access to you through Christ, which I pray that we never take for granted, Lord. We still long for the day that we get to dwell with you, not in a sinful body and not in a sinful world. So, Lord, we ask that Christ would come back quickly, that he would set all things right, and that we may start to enjoy our eternity with you in new bodies and in a world where there is no sin. We love you, Lord. I pray that the truths that we learned today would change our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.